This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. Good morning on the 17th of December 2025, a week away from Christmas Eve. I'm Andy Eubank, and the HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller checking in with the news today, including a change of venue in June for the Indiana FFA State Convention and legislation aimed at growing healthier kids in American classrooms is closer to becoming law. The new Indiana Farm Forecast, Ryan Martin has more mild air today, rain tomorrow, and yesterday grain and oil seed markets again sold off. We'll have analysis with Mike Castle of Stone X on the HAT Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at FFBT.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
The Indiana FFA State Convention will have a new home for 2026, and whole milk could be back in schools soon. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. There'll be a new venue and new location for the 2026 Indiana FFA State Convention in June. CJ Miller has more.
We are very excited to be hosting this year's state convention at the arena at Innovation Mile in Noblesville.
And that's Caitlin Marcheski, Indiana FFA president for 2025-2026. She says the convention is at the new venue in Noblesville after having hosted the last three conventions at Purdue University's campus in West Lafayette.
So Elliott Hall of Music at Purdue is unfortunately under construction, so we had to pivot a little bit. We are really excited about this location because it's centrally located in the state, and there's a lot of lodging and food options around that area, and there's no shortage of things to do around Noblesville.
Caitlin adds that this year's theme for the convention is unwritten.
That word shows that everything that you do in life is your choice to make. You make your own choices, and the decisions and the things that happen, that's all part of your story and your unique story. And we really believe that every member has a very unique story to tell and to write. And so we feel like this theme really encapsulates that whole idea, and we're very excited to expand upon it.
The 97th Indiana FFA State Convention kicks off June 15th with CDE competitions and this year's service project. It's going to be at Hamilton Southeastern High School in Fishers. The sessions then get underway June 16th through 18th at the arena at Innovation Mile in Noblesville. For more information, visit infffa.org. You can also find that link at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Attention farmers, Jim and Jody Johnson are retiring and their premium equipment is heading to Purple Wave's December 30th Ag Auction. Don't miss their 2024 John Deere ExactEmerge 1775 NT Planter and 2019 John Deere S760 Combine. This retirement auction features well-maintained machinery that's been part of a successful farming operation with equipment located in Osage, Iowa. Everything sells. Absolute no reserve to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com for details. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
Piece of legislation aimed at growing healthier kids in American schools took a big step toward becoming law. Both the U.S. House and Senate have now passed the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act, which takes an important step toward offering children more choice in their school lunch.
It would amend the National School Lunch Act so that schools may offer whole milk, 2% milk, 1% milk, fat-free milk, flavored or unflavored.
Farm Bureau economist Danny Munch says the change doesn't mandate whole milk per se.
It simply restores the option for schools to serve that if they choose, and it also expands demand for butterfat in the dairy industry, which boosts prices during a time of acute need.
Once the bill has President Trump's signature, the Department of Agriculture will get to work on implementation.
Once the bill is signed, the USDA, through its Food and Nutrition Service, will issue updated guidance and regulations that reflect the new statutory authority. Individual school districts will then decide if and when to offer whole milk or 2% milk in their cafeteria menus. Many school districts adjust those menus between semesters on an annual cycle, so adoption could occur within the start of the new year or months later when they set up for next year.
And Munch says this legislation is very good news for dairy farmers.
For dairy farmers, the benefits will mirror how many districts adopt whole or 2% milk. The more that do, the higher demand for for butterfat, which builds positive price pressure for milk prices. We are really excited to get this across the finish line, and this is something Farm Bureau has been pushing for since these changes were made to school lunch programs.
For more on this and other farm news, visit HoosierAgToday.com. And while you're there, check out the Hoosier Ag Today podcast network and the newest addition to that network, the Little Red Barn podcast with farmer and chief meteorologist Ryan Martin. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the HAT podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We are making no changes in the nearby part of the forecast. That means mild air is still in control. Yesterday we warmed up nicely. Today we're going to be doing the same. Tomorrow, the warmest day of the week. Today we see sunshine with clouds increasing late and especially overnight. Tomorrow, plenty of clouds from day one or from moment one, and a frontal boundary will be trying to work in. I think by mid to late morning, we will be seeing rain showers already infiltrating west and northwestern parts of Indiana. And then by afternoon, rain is everywhere. The biggest rains will be anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch across the Hoosier State. We expect 100% coverage. Here's a little tidbit, though, that we're still trying to work through. It does look like the moisture lingers longer as cold air advances a little faster. So there is what we're looking at now, a chance for moisture to end as wet snow as we move through Thursday evening, tomorrow evening, probably well before midnight. Whether it does end as snow or whether the moisture ends as rain, I'm still in the rain camp, but I'm just saying here's some chances. But either way, it's going to be leading to a brutal Friday. Arctic air is going to dominate for Friday. How cold, Ryan? Well, think back to Monday, all right? Monday was not necessarily a very nice day, and Friday could be looking like that. In addition to the cold air, we can be seeing some very strong north winds on Friday. So I'm not excited about Friday at all. But what I can tell you is the cold air only lasts about a day. Overnight Friday night, we start to see southwest winds come right back, and temperatures are going to moderate into the day Saturday. Sunday is going to be a north versus south thing. I think there's still plenty of cold air to the north that wants to surge south. There's plenty of warm air to the south that just doesn't want to go away. So the two are going to battle. I think Sunday's temperatures are cooler than Saturday's for most of the state, and we could see some very strong winds in northern Indiana on Sunday. And then going into next week, we start to see warm air surge back up. Probably brings out a little bit of rain shower action over the state with about 40% coverage on Monday before we are quite mild Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Christmas Day, and on into Friday of next week. Scattered rain showers showing up Saturday late and into Sunday the 28th. But that mild air looks to me like it wants to hold all the way through the turn of the year. Could even see some more rain for the 30th into the 31st. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
While snow may cover Indiana's soil and water, Hoosier farmers know the great treasure that lies out of sight. As we move through the holidays, know that the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance values you as an integral part of Indiana agriculture. However you contribute to viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water, IANA and its partners stand ready to help in 2026 as you manage expensive nutrients successfully and plan for next season.
Back in the red, corn, soybeans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and I'll have final numbers coming up. We begin, though, with commentary from Mike Castle of Stone X. I spoke with him at the end of the session. Markets lower again on Tuesday from the jump. First, the downside leader, the wheat market, then beans joined with near dime losses. So we do see weakness across the board, corn, soybeans, and wheat. And Mike, are we in the middle of the holiday malaise, as we like to call it, or has volume actually picked up here in the last few hours?
Yeah, you know, I think that's kind of a perfect summation of what's going on. Not a ton of fresh news out today either. You know, obviously had NOPA crush and, you know, export inspections numbers yesterday to look at. But today a bit quieter. I think a lot of this selling pressures just kind of spill over from the outside markets. You're seeing crude oil trade down to its lowest level since early 2021. Got, you know, kind of most of the focus in the market on the macro side of things today, with the big feature this morning being some delayed jobs numbers that finally came out, non-farm payrolls being kind of the big one that everyone was waiting for here. And I mean, it's still kind of the government just playing catch up from the shutdown. So we got partial October numbers. We got final November numbers, the latter of which looked good. The headline, you know, 64,000 jobs added, meet estimates, but October numbers showed losses of 105K. August, September got revised lower as well. So the net result is we're looking at unemployment moving higher to 4.6% last month. That's the highest since September of 2021. U6 unemployment up to 8.7%. So overall, kind of some softer, you know, labor market readings, a little bit soft retail sales. So overall, kind of, I would say just, you know, malaise is probably the right word for it, but a bit cloudier of an outlook. You know, kind of started the day on a better note. Soybeans were kind of up, you know, to start the day. The NASDAQ has tried to, you know, trade both sides of unchanged today, but now all the equities are pushing lower. Commodity sector, again, you know, kind of feeling that selling pressure as well. So overall, I mean, here we are in the holiday lull, so to speak, without much fresh, you know, positive fodder out there. And it just seems like that selling pressure is piling on.
And that selling pressure seems apparent almost each and every day. Is it also a path of least resistance type of issue as well? If there's nothing supportive, then it's easier for the markets to go lower?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we kind of have had this back and forth over the last couple months. Obviously, a lot of the optimism and rally that we saw this fall was driven around the conversation between trade between the U.S. and China starting back up, them committing to buy soybeans from us. Obviously, people are still kind of keeping tabs on that. It hasn't been, you know, going all that great, right? We're at about half of what they said they would commit to by the end of the year here now with 2 weeks left. And it really just seems like that expectation is getting pushed back further and further into 2026, what we want to define as, you know, the end of the year. So with that said, the export target appears, you know, kind of in jeopardy at this point. You know, obviously, even if we hit these targets to China, we'd still need to see our second biggest non-China sales of all time to reach USDA's target. So would expect to see them have to walk that back. And that obviously pushes more importance to the crush side, which has been a positive overall. You know, NOPA crush yesterday was below expectations, but still easily a record for the month. That's kind of continuing the trend. We're off to a very hot start in terms of crush demand in the 25-26 marketing year. But, you know, we did hear today that we shouldn't expect to see final policy guidance until the first quarter of 26. That uncertainty is certainly not viewed as positive. So again, it kind of just it takes the winds out of the sails a bit here, and, you know, again, allows for us to kind of drift lower here and continue the trend that we've seen more recently.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Castle, Market Intelligence and Senior Fertilizer Analyst at Stone X. Settlements now from Tuesday trade, 3.25 lower on March and May corn. March dips to 436.5, May 444.5, July 451, down 2.75. 10.62 3/4 for Jan beans, a loss of 9 cents, 9.5 off on the March, 10.71 3/4, and May down an even dime, 10.83. March wheat 11.25 lower, 509.5. Livestock markets, though, did go higher Tuesday. February live cattle, 230.70, up 15 cents. February lean hogs, 84.77, up 92. And that is the Tuesday Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.